I just want to say thank you to the worship team for the worship. And thank you to the Lord too. He's so good, isn't he? All the time. And I don't know how this is going to go, actually. Anyway, what I planned to say, and I'll start where I planned. I was saying, wouldn't it be lovely to be part of a church where revival is happening, where refreshing is happening? Don't you just, wouldn't you just love that, to be part of that, where the church is growing, where miraculous healings are taking place, where the whole community is being affected by the church, where there are powerful sermons? That would be great, wouldn't it? That cause people to repent and become Christians. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Where there's no one with needs, but everyone sharing. That would be just great. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
It would. Yeah. You say that. And yet I know a church that was like that. Everything was happening. God's Spirit was really moving. When they gathered together, even sometimes the place seemed to shake because of the Spirit of the Lord. And yet there was one couple that weren't happy. And their problem was other people were being very generous. People in the church were selling things that they didn't need, assets that they had that they didn't need. And they were giving all the money from that and giving it to the church leaders and saying, distribute it however seems right to you. And this couple, they weren't happy about that. You see, they had assets and they thought, well, I don't know quite what they thought, because I'm not sure, but I'm thinking they thought everybody else knows we've got assets that we could sell and give. But we don't want to. But we want to appear spiritual, and we want to appear as though we're into everything. Well, that's what I think they might have thought. So they decided together on a plan that they would deceive people, that they would pretend, that they would sell some of their assets and pretend that it was all the assets, and that they would give the money to the church leaders and pretend it was the money, all the money from the assets they'd sold, but it wouldn't be. They were going to keep some for themselves, but not say that. Perhaps you know that, have heard of that church too. We were looking at it in house group this week. And it's in Acts 5. And the husband, Ananias, came to the church leader at that time, Peter, and he gave this generous amount of money to Peter. And Peter didn't say, oh, thank you. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you for giving us all that money. No. He said, why has Satan filled your heart? That you have lied. That you've tried to deceive us. That was hard, wasn't it? And I just wonder how Peter felt at this time. I feel Peter must have felt very upset and sad, because these were church members. And God's given him a word of knowledge that they're trying to deceive the whole church about this. And he says to Ananias, he says, look, that land that you sold, it was yours. When it was yours, it was yours. When you sold it, that money was yours. I almost feel he might have said, look, you could have kept half of it and given half of it to the church, and that would have been wonderful. But why did you let Satan enter your heart to deceive us? You didn't lie to us. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And Ananias fell down dead in front of Peter. And I thought, that must be awful. How would you feel if you'd just given a word of knowledge and somebody hadn't just fallen over in the Spirit, but they dropped down dead? It would have been frightening, wouldn't it? Scary. And Peter said to the young man, come and take him away. He was dead. And then 3 hours went by. And I thought, that must have been a difficult time too. And Sapphira, his wife, comes. And Peter says to her, this money that your husband brought, is this the price that you got for the land that you sold? And she said, yes. And signed her death warrant, really. Peter said, why did you plan together to do this? There are the young men that have carried your husband away dead, and they're coming for you. And she dropped down dead. And great fear. At that moment she fell down at his feet and died. And then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about it. And when I was thinking about it, you know, some people think, well, surely that was a bit harsh, wasn't it? Have you ever thought that about God? Or other people? You know, we're not supposed to judge other people. Did you know that? It constantly is telling us in Scripture not to judge. We're told lots of times to love, but we're told never to judge. And judging God, it's on another scale altogether. But do you ever do that? Do you ever blame God? Do you ever think God's not really doing it right? But do you know, I think this was what is sometimes called a severe mercy. Because Satan had entered Ananias' heart and Sapphira's heart. And what do you think might have happened if the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed to Peter what they were doing? If, as it were, they got away with it. That they deliberately deceived the whole church. What do you think they'd have done next? Because once you start sinning, it's easy to go on sinning. And once you've done a little sin, it's easier to do a bigger sin. And I think God must have thought, I'm going to take them now. It will be a mercy for them to take them now. Because they were believers, they would have gone to heaven, wouldn't they? It's not what we do. They believed. They would have gone to heaven. And they'd have gone more or less together, wouldn't they? I'm not saying that they wouldn't have suffered. But and the church would have been saved from that corrupting influence. And it would have been a corrupting influence. So I think God was good. Even in this situation, he knew. And he was good. He was good to Ananias and Sapphira and stopped them from doing worse things. And he was good to the church because he preserved the church. And he made the church aware that the Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit. And you might think, well, why am I telling you this story now? Well, partly because we did it at house group on Monday. So it's at the forefront of my mind. But I think it's because I feel that God wants to move in us now. He was moving tremendously on that early church then. And he wants to move in us now. We've seen little bits of his activity, haven't we? And it's good. But he wants more. But he wants us to be aware that he is a Holy Spirit. That's why he's called Holy Spirit. He is a Holy Spirit, and we need to welcome him into our presence and not to grieve him. In Ephesians 4, where there's a lot of talk about the gifts of the Spirit, is also where it mentions grieving the Spirit. And we're told not to grieve the Spirit. I think it's about... it's verse 20, I think, or somewhere around there. I can't see it at the moment, but we're told not to grieve the Spirit. And the things that grieve the Spirit, he tells us, are all the things where we're starting to be nasty to each other, actually. And we're starting to speak horrible things, and it's 30, is it? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that then he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. And if we look before, he says that we must be speaking no falsehood, but truthfully to each other, for we're members of one body. And in our anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. That's what Ananias and Sapphira gave, wasn't it? They gave a foothold. Because they deliberately and willfully sinned. So they gave a foothold. We do that. If we choose to sin, and we know that we're sinning, and we still go on, then the devil... We're giving the devil a foothold. But we're told not to do that. But what we are told to do is to be kind. Isn't that lovely? After all those horrible things that we're told not to do, he says, be kind. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That kind doesn't mean that we don't ever tell people when they're doing anything wrong. As Caroline said last week, you know, sometimes when God touches us, we don't particularly like it, because he highlights a weakness of ours. But, you know, he only ever does that because he wants to heal it. The Holy Spirit never condemns us. If you feel condemned, that means you feel grotty and awful inside, and you think, I'm never going to be in a better, and you've got real negative things going on. If the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's specific, and he's saying there's something in your behaviour or something in your attitude that's wrong. It's not you. Because he's made you in his image. You're good, but those things, they're not worthy of you. You're better than that. That's conviction. He does that because he knows that he's wanting to change that. This week, a couple of times, I had little convictions, not particularly of things that I'd done, but of things that I hadn't done. Sins of omission. And he only does that because he wants me to be better. He wants me to be more beautiful. He wants all of us to be like that. He's saying, Katie, you can do better than this. What you're doing, it's not good enough. You can do better than this. I've put more of myself in you. And I want you to reflect me more. the Holy Spirit, he's put something of himself in each of us. Before we were born, he made plans for each of us. We were each made unique. And God put something of his image in each of us. There's something of God in each person. In each person, not just in the church, but in the world. There is no one in the world that is past redemption. God has put something in everyone. But it's been marred, it's been spoiled by sin. But the brilliant news of the gospel is this, that Jesus died to make us new. So we now can recover what he originally put in us. Those plans that he had, those designs he had for us, the destiny that he saw in us before we were born, we can get back to that place as though we had not sinned. Because he's done the work for us. We can't do it. We can never, ever match up to the standard that God wants. We can't do it. We're not capable. But he can work in us to help us to reach some of those standards. We're never going to be perfect. But he does it in us. It's his work. And the Holy Spirit wants to work in each one of us to bring out the best in us. But I feel at the moment that this is a time when God's saying to us as a fellowship, it's not just you individually that I want to work in. I want to work in you as a body. We are a body, and he wants to work in us together so that we can encourage one another, so that we can see in each other what God has put in us, so that we'll work together as a unity, so that Broadfield will start to feel the effects of us being a body that's working together. He wants us to spread the kingdom of God, his influence, not just in the church, but in the wider community. That's what he's wanting. He wants to use us to encourage each other to be the best that we can be. And we've been talking about this as a leadership, and we are going to be having some meetings in June and July to give the Holy Spirit more time, more space to work in us. And I think we'll be saying more about it at the church meeting tomorrow. But I was talking about this with someone, and we're thinking, what kind of title could we put on these meetings? And I thought of one. I don't know what Kevin put on this email. It's a bit obscure, Katie. Obtuse. Yeah. But I was thinking, how about calling it gold panning? Right, have you heard of treasure hunting? That's when people start to look for treasure in non-Christians, in unbelievers. But gold panning, I thought, it's looking for the gold in each other. That's what it's about. When you pan for gold, you look for the nuggets, don't you? You look for the gold. And I think that's what we need to be about. We need to be looking for the gold in each other. That is what the gift of prophecy is about. Part of it is about. And the gift of prophecy is for everyone. Paul says, I would that you all prophesied. what he wants, part of it is he wants us to see each other as he sees us. And God sees what he's put in each of us. And he wants us to see the good that he's put into each one of us. And he wants us to encourage each other to bring it to fruition. That's what he wants to do. He wants to then to bless us through each other. Having noticed it and having named it, and as it were almost brought it forth by noticing and saying, then he wants to use it to bless each one of us. He wants to use us to bless each other. That's what the body is about. We are supposed to be working together. And doesn't it's in unity, isn't it? I mean, there's that lovely image, isn't there, in one of the Psalms about unity being so beautiful. It's like oil being poured out over someone. It just brings harmony. It just brings love. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want us judging one another. He wants us discerning, yes. Because sometimes we'll see the gold and sometimes we'll see other things that aren't so nice. And then we need to talk to each other in love. Not judging, but in love. Speaking to one another in love. Because if we judge, it doesn't go with loving. They're almost opposite. We're pointing the finger when we're judging. When we're loving, we're going out to someone. So we'll discern. Sometimes we'll see things that aren't very good. And then we can wait for God to show us how to point that out in love. So it doesn't mean that we have to be pretending everyone is wonderful, but that there is gold. There's gold in you people out there. There is gold. And it's that we need to look for in each other. And I thought it'd be lovely for us just to spend a little bit of time just relaxing in God's presence and asking the Holy Spirit to flow over us. I did say to Viv, we'll have there's a song, River Wash Over Me, but I don't care what words you sing to it, quite frankly. Whenever it comes, I just sing, Spirit flow over me, cleanse me and make me new, fill me, refresh me and fill me anew. I think it says bathe me, but Spirit flow over me. In a way, this is a time when, you know, if you haven't ever sung in the Spirit, start now. Just sing the words that God gives you. Because it's that sort of a song that you don't have to sing. You can sing the words that are there, but you can sing the words that God gives you as you just ask his Holy Spirit to flow over you, to flow over you and flow out through you and then flow over you again. It's a continuous thing. He wants to flood us and for it to go over us. So it's just a quiet time.